Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
City Talk 105.9.
Hey, how's it going? It's a second ever producer's cut, the audio blog from the Paul Jacobs Show with producer Mick and Paul Jacobs. Say hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
It's that time of the month again.
It's tremendous,
where,
isn't it?
Where we get together, we discuss the big issues affecting the Paul Jacobs Drive Time Show.
We don't mess around here, though. I mean, this is the blog. I mean, we say what we think on air, but we can go that little bit further here, can't we?
Yeah.
I mean, for example, I don't know why I'm wearing this top. I've had this for about 17 years. I had nothing fresh in my wardrobe to wear today.
I got some stick the other day because I came in wearing a City Talk T-shirt, which I thought was a bit nifty, right? The number of people who went, hey, are you getting paid to wear that?
It was well bright, man.
I was getting off Lime Street. Everyone was looking at me like I was some sort of celeb because I was wearing a City Talk T-shirt.
Did you give any autographs?
I was made up until I got into work, and then everyone started having a go.
What's got on your nerves in the last couple of weeks or so, mate? What do you really want to hit off about?
I can't not mention my terrible run of luck on the betting. The predictions, I mean, we can just start. If we start at the start when I predicted that France or Italy would win Euro 2008, I predicted that Holland wouldn't get through the group stage. I predicted that Croatia were a good shout, and I had Sweden in the sweepstake. And I also bet that Novak Djokovic would win Wimbledon, or certainly would do well, because I would never ever back against Federer. And every single one of them, Paul, has gone horribly wrong. Now, you, of course, are one of our top tipsters. And I mean, what do you put that down to? Bad luck, bad form?
I think it's a bit of but. Can you now say live on air on the blog that I will never ever get to touch Liz Hurley? Can you just say that, please? Can you just confirm that now as a prediction?
Well, I predict you shall never ever touch Anne Widdecombe.
Ah, horrible, man. Tell you what I want to talk about very quickly, these sex clinics things at schools, right? You know, when I was a kid around about 8, 9, 10, 11, I don't think I ever even thought about sex. Didn't know what it was about. Do you know what the closest I got? Behind the bike sheds reading a Playboy.
was that the doctor will see you now. Go on, lend us a look at that.
It was always the guy who was the most popular guy in the year, right? He bought a magazine and he'd read the stories and that was it. And I still didn't understand what was going on.
This is a story that something like one in three high schools, I couldn't actually believe this, one in three high schools now actually have these sex clinics in them. And I thought, where did that come from? And that's why we asked the question. Because
I think it's a sad reflection on society that we have to. But if we have to, we have to, Mick, you know?
I tell you, I'm thinking of something else.
Go on, then.
I was thinking of when we did the story about the kids being obese. Something like one in three, 5 to 10-year-olds or something like that were clinically obese. We asked the question, when did our kids get so fat? Because when we were kids, right, we were playing out. We were never sitting still long enough to get fat.
It's because the parents stuff them with food, that's why.
Yeah, but
that's why they're fat, because the parents don't care about the kids. That's why they're fat.
No, but the thing is, though, like, I was a kid, right? I didn't go wanting, you know. You get a Mackie D's every, you know, maybe fortnight, if you were lucky, something like that. But I was out there playing footy on the streets with
all
my mates.
You're running it off.
Yeah, it wasn't like we were on like a tin of beans per household or anything like that. You know, we were eating well, but it was about getting out there.
I'm running it off.
I'm running it off and playing footy.
I still think it's the parents'
Kirby.
Fault. Parents don't care.
You ever used to play Kirby in the street?
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to love Kirby. Remember that? One point, if you got it from your side of the road, if you caught it back, you get to go into the middle and throw the ball again. If you catch the ball again, 2 points.
Get knocked over by a car steaming down the road as well.
No, that was the other thing. You know, they're talking about kids now being safe on the streets. We used to have the fail-safe thing, which is somebody used to shout, car! And as soon as someone shouted, car. That's how you knew you'd get off the road, because there was a car coming. And it'd always be the cheeky lad who'd throw the ball over the top of the car as it went past.
Yeah, I thought he was being brave, didn't he? Can I talk about Gordon Brown? Should I tell you why?
Go on.
Because A, I think he's a prat, and B, because Duncan Bark said on his show this week that he thought Gordon Brown was a better alternative to Tony Blair. I cannot believe what the big man's been saying. It's no wonder he lives down south at the weekends, because he's scared of staying up here and getting a gobful from the people in Liverpool. Gordon Brown has been a massive, massive failure. He doesn't have the persona, the personality, the profile to be a PM, and the quicker we realise that, the better. And, you know, the election in the next 12 months when it comes around, he is good night nurse. He's gone. Drink up, we're leaving. Goodbye, Gordon Brown. We've had enough. You know, he's a guy that never had a mandate to become, never mind Labour leader, Prime Minister, never had it at all. He's got to go. I'm fed up with Gordon Brown. Yeah, I'm fed up with people making excuses for him.
But I'm going to say but here.
Well, you're going to mitigate circumstances.
No, because this question he was asking was, come back, Tony, or the statement he was making was, come back, Tony, all is forgiven. No. That's what he was saying, that people are now looking at Tony Blair and saying, oh, weren't times great? But when we were at the war with Iraq and he said he was standing down, it was hell.
Short memories.
Yeah, people have very short memories in politics.
I'm not a great supporter of Blair, to be honest with you, Mick. I'm not, you know, I never was. I think he was a good orator. He could stand up. But what he had that Brown hasn't got is at least he's got a human touch, or we perceive he has a human touch. Whether he means it or not, we'll never really know. All I know is when I met his wife, I wasn't totally convinced by her either.
Gordon Brown for me is obviously, he's a nice bloke. I don't think there's a bad bone in
his body.
He's not
a horrible guy, just can't do the job. I'm sorry. Would you vote for him?
No, but you don't. People always say, would you vote for Gordon Brown? I don't vote for Gordon Brown. I vote for my local MP.
Exactly.
That's who I vote
for. Exactly.
So when people say, oh, get rid of Gordon Brown, it's not our issue. If you don't like Gordon Brown, he's the leader of the Labour Party, so don't vote for your Labour Party candidate.
Yeah, but Mick, you're clever. You realise that the majority of the nation will still have the back of their mind, their unconscious, I'm really voting for the party and for the Prime Minister. Don't they?
But what people need to do is go to their local politician and say, hello, whoever it might be. Say you live in Walton, you've got Peter Kilfoyle as your local politician. Say, hey up, Peter, I think you're doing a sterling job, but I'm not happy with Gordon Brown in terms of where he's taking the Labour Party. Mm. It's making me question whether or not I can put my faith in voting for you, or whether it's Jane Kennedy, whether it's Maria Eagle, whether it's Angela Eagle, whether it's any of the local MPs. If you go to them and say, look, I'm not sure whether or not I still have my faith in Gordon Brown, therefore, can you put a bit of pressure on him, which I'm pretty sure Peter Kilfoyle will be more than happy to do, then I think that's the way to do it, rather than just saying, don't vote for Gordon Brown, because you don't vote for Gordon Brown, but you can put pressure on your local politicians to actually get up and do something.
Can I bring up another subject here? I'd like to know, if you were a woman, Mick, would you get your breasts out in public to feed your child? Now, I have to say,
I know where you're going with this. That sounds like a crude question, but this is the breastfeeding thing, isn't it?
It's not. Now, can I just say, I was going out with this woman once, right? And we went over to a foreign country to visit her daughter-in-law, okay?
Right.
Who just had a baby. And she was, I mean, her daughter-in-law was gorgeous.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we're sitting there. She's got a baby who's like 18 months, and she gets her breasts out. And I went absolutely red. Now, it's unlike me to get embarrassed. So I'm sitting there trying to think of conversation while this woman's got these beautiful breasts out feeding her baby. It just didn't sit right with me. Do you know what I mean? Because you're trying not to look at this woman's breasts. Is it a horrible thing to look at? Of course it isn't. It's aesthetically
It's the most
pleasing.
Natural thing is, in the world
is,
to look that, at.
But that's what I'm coming to. It is dead natural, but I was embarrassed, you know? You know, I could watch a blue movie with my friends. I could, you know, make crude remarks about males or females or whatever it may, or whatever subject matter, and not be embarrassed. This embarrassed me.
The story that was this was based around, and we had a campaigner on this, because she was right as well. It was... You're in danger if you had to breastfeed your child, be it in a restaurant or a certain public place. Mm. You could actually be fined. You could be actually convicted of a crime of public indecency, which is just massively wrong.
Because there's more important things to worry about in society today.
Oh.
Bottom line,
yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, can you imagine going to... Imagine you being... Your mum there, she's a JP, isn't she? Imagine her sitting there and having that case come before her.
She'd laugh.
She'd just say, well, this isn't a crime.
She'd laugh. My mum's had far worse embarrassing moments in court.
And the other thing that I know the story you're going to tell.
I'm not going to
tell
the story.
Yeah, please don't.
Because we might get kicked off the blog. I'm just thinking about it. And I'm thinking, I'm tempted actually, but yeah, you're in charge. So I'm not going to do it. No,
that's right off limits. Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney says that on a Monday we should all give up meat.
Is it because he is such a famous figure and he's got nothing better to do with his life nowadays? All of a sudden, I call these people goody-goodies because they want to be seen in the right light. You know, it's like Bono of U2. He wants to be seen in the right light, doesn't he? Otherwise, his records ain't going to sell.
That's why he wears the shades. It's just...
Yeah, it reminds me of Vaughan, who works at Radio City. He wears shades, doesn't he, wherever he goes? He wears shades... At night time, he wears shades when he goes to bed, Vaughan.
The thing for me on that was, and the interesting thing was, the fact that it was Paul McCartney was saying that.
Yeah.
And we went out and we did a Vox, and there was a woman there, and she said, I don't eat a lot of meat anyway. I don't eat meat. So we said to her, well, what veg do you eat? She was like, oh, to be honest, I don't eat a lot of veg. It's like, what do you eat? What else is there? There's meat. There's veg. What is she? Pulses.
We're hilarious. People in Liverpool are the greatest people in the world. We are hilarious. Every time we go out and speak to them, you always get one person you think, this is a diamond of an answer. So keep on coming, Voice of Liverpool. We want to hear your views because you are different gear.
Royal Ascot, mate. You were there for 2 days back end of the other week. Jason Harborough was in on the show.
Mr. JH, yeah.
Now, Jason is from the same hometown as me, Chorley, Lancashire. Yeah. People always say to me, Chorley, oh, it's miles away. It's literally up the road, Chorley. So the pair of us were on air. It was quite funny. I'm sure the Chorley Guardian there, the local paper, would have been... making up plenty of stories about us there.
Just, do you reckon you got your name in there?
Chorley duo hit the big time on City Talk. But Jason said to me, he went, now Paul used to work at another radio station. It was a national station. And Jason used to do the rugby league commentary, right? So Jason went, Paul Jakes, I used to work with him. He said, I used to work with him. I used to speak to him every weekend when I was doing the rugby league games.
I don't even remember.
And Paul didn't have a clue. So Jason Harborough, one of the top men at the Culture Company before he left under a cloud last year, worked with Paul Jakes. So this guy was in the news all the time, massively in the news. Paul didn't even have a clue. Now, a similar thing happened when we were doing a story about education in Liverpool, where the councillor who's in charge of education in Liverpool, a chap called Paul Klein. So I mentioned that Paul Klein's coming in to talk about this education story, whatever it was that day. Paul goes, I used to know a lad called Paul Klein.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he shows up, doesn't he? Same bloke. He used to play in the football team.
You've seen the picture of him when he was younger in the football team. That picture we showed him to Calderstones Park. This guy brought along, a guy who works for some radio station, and he bought a picture of us when I was about 17. And Paul Klein looks the same age then as he does now, except he wears these great hats.
He is the cat in a hat.
He is, isn't he? What's been getting on your nerves, Mick?
I'll tell you what, Calderstones Park, though, we can't not mention that. If you go on citytalk.fm, go on the Paul Jakes page, you'll see the video. Paul got on centre court at the Liverpool International Tennis Tournament, got to play Barry Cowan, who's from Southport, now lives in Ormskirk.
He's a big guy.
Beat Pete Sampras at Wimbledon one year. Yeah. Unbelievable. He actually had Paul a game on centre court. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was all of 2 minutes worth, because that's all you could manage.
But he actually hit
one winner.
I was out of puff, actually. Worth mentioning that Carlos, who does all the knobs and the buttons in the studio, what do you like to call him? Studio manager?
His official title is a studio manager.
Right, he's going to take the dip very shortly, isn't he? He's going to get married.
He's getting married.
Stag night coming up very shortly, so we'll make sure, in inverted commas, he enjoys that.
It's a stag day.
It's the stag day.
We're going down the races, aren't we?
And the question we asked this week was, are people happier when they're married?
Now, this was off the back of the most hilarious interview I've ever heard in my life. This was Yakubu being interviewed by a football website from Nigeria. And basically, he was saying that because he was getting married, he would be a better footballer. His life would be better. He would be more comfortable kicking a ball. Knowing that he would go back home to see his wife's smiling face made him a happier man.
I'm sorry.
He'll score more goals as a result.
Is that what you think about when you go back to your other half, her smiling face?
Well, yeah, but
do you think about
your wife's smiling face as you're kicking a football?
No. If you're thinking about good things about your wife, which we can't mention on here, it's not the smiling face that is top of the agenda. I'm very, very sorry. It's other more rounded parts, but we won't go into that.
But good luck. I think he will be married by now.
He got married on Wednesday, and he's got a white wedding on Saturday the 28th. So by the time a lot of people hear this, that's smiling Yakubu.
Who has two weddings in a week?
Yeah, Yakubu, because it makes him happier and play football better. Hey, listen, anything that makes him run around a bit more, because he's a bit on the rotund side, might help him.
That's just the way he's built.
Yeah, big bones. I've heard that before, mate.
Wimbledon, we talked weather there. It's actually just looking at the papers before we came in the studio. On the TV screens, and it's raining. It's raining at Wimbledon. We had the Met Office on the other day, and they were saying they've got 2 weeks of sunshine. Safe to say they were wrong.
As always.
But have you got a top tip for Wimbledon for people who are hearing this while the tournament's still going on?
I'm not interested in the tennis. I think it's a class sport. It's for all you big posh people with gangs of money and with an old Jensen Interceptor or a brand new Bentley convertible don't believe in it. And it's still, we're still never going to do ourselves justice in this country, because working class people like myself, we don't have a chance to play tennis at all. The first time I played tennis in 10 years was because of my position working on drive time at Calder Stones. It's out of order and we deserve everything we get. And if Andy Murray ever gets the final of Wimbledon, which I doubt because he's such a miserable person and he doesn't play with love in his heart like Yakubu is obviously going to, he's another Henman. He is another Henman.
He's already a better player than Henman ever was. Because that's what you want. You want somebody who's a cool, calm, collected customer. You don't see Roger Federer.
Is he cool? Well, are they going to have Henman Hill? Are they going to have Murray Mound?
That's what they have. That's what they call it.
The Murray Mound.
Yeah.
The Murray Mound.
The Murray Mints. But no, that's what they're saying, because Roger Federer, you see him, you don't see him, you know, prancing around and, you know, being flamboyant and that. He gets the job done. That's what we want from Andy Murray. Now, if you listen to this and Wimbledon's finished and Murray's been knocked out in absolute shambles of a match, then I apologise. But for now, without the benefit of hindsight, I'm saying good for you, Andy Murray. Let's have a little bit more.
He might rename himself Mick Murray. McMurray.
But he's actually a better player on off grass, sorry. Well, grass isn't his surface. He's a better player off grass. So if he's going to win one tournament, chances are it won't be Wimbledon.
It'll be the US Open if he wins.
Well, yeah. I hope so. So that's my prediction.
I don't care.
And you know what my predictions are worth?
Nothing.
Which takes us all the way back round to the start. and that's pretty much it for the producer's cut this week, or this month, or whenever we get time to update it. If you check out Drive Time page on citytalk.fm, you'll see next time we're uploading a new audio blog, hopefully in the next few weeks or so, certainly before we go away for our summer holidays. Are we going away for a summer holiday?
I don't know, but can I just say as well, our old researcher Ash is back shortly.
She is back from Thailand.
Can we get her on to do the next blog with us? Three-wayer.
Oh,
a threesome, yeah.
Hey, we're getting carried away now.
Tremendous.
Yeah, she's back from Thailand. Paul's going to be going, where are we going? Prestatyn?
Prestatyn.
Prestavensands.
Yeah.
My first holiday was down Prestavensands
really?
In a caravan, yeah.
Do you remember?
Well, it's one of my first memories. I bet you I was about four. Prestavensands. I've been back a few times since,
actually. You wouldn't know he's 6'9", would you?
That's it for the producer's cut. I'm producer Mick. That's Paul Jacobs. We'll see you next time.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
City Talk 105.9.